says, though, a Surrey-based charity which helps children living in Sudan is marking its 25th birthday this year. Kids for Kids in Dorking was set up by Patricia Barker in 2001 after she visited Darfur and saw children living in conditions of extreme deprivation. Patricia turned 77 this year, stepping down as CEO, but will continue her hands-on role as Chairman of Trustees and Programme Director. Delighted to welcome Patricia Barker onto the programme now. Patricia, thank you very much for joining us. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm afraid I have a confession to make.
What's
my
that?
Daughter-in-law pointed out that I'm 78.
Are you?
Last week. Yes. Better come clean.
You've been so busy, it's easy to forget the odd year, isn't it? I mean, 25 remarkable years. Let's talk about that visit that inspired this charity.
Do you know, it's quite extraordinary. I met that little boy again when I last went to Darfur. What happened to me was my eldest son said to me, would it be all right if he joined the Foreign Office? And I said, as long as you don't get in. And of course he got in, and his first, if you like, proper job in the Foreign Office was in Sudan. So I went out to celebrate his birthday. But I've always done stuff for children and for charities and so on. And so I said, I ought to see how children are living. And we went out to Darfur. But no one could have predicted what we'd seen. We were travelling. It was only March. It was spring. It should have been nice weather. It was horrendous. It was serious drought, serious heat. And in the middle of nowhere across the sands of Darfur, we found a little 9-year-old boy on his own, struggling across the sands with a heavy jerry can, you know, a container of water. And we thought he was lost. We bounced across the sand. There were no roads. And asked, you know, where are you going? Are you lost? Can we help? And he said no. He was walking for water, and it was a walk that took him 7 hours. Now, I always say, if you see something like that and you can't do anything about it, you cry, but you can't do anything about it. What was shocking was that all the big aid agencies were there in Darfur, and not one was drilling hand pumps in villages. Now, there's the largest reservoir of water under Darfur. And it was obvious to me that, frankly, it would be inexcusable for us to walk away and not see if we could provide a hand pump in his village. And that was the start of it.
25 years on, that is incredible. Yeah. What are you proudest of? I mean, obviously, it started with a hand pump, which I'm assuming that you did manage to provide.
We did indeed, but a lot more. I was so shocked about the way, what sort of mother would allow her child to do that walk? I mean, obviously he would die in the heat of summer. I mean, it was, you know. But when I found that she was camping away because she had three little goats and his water was keeping the goats alive, but their milk was giving him protein and minerals and vitamins, it was obvious to me, and we had to do a lot more, that the conditions were obviously, frankly, off the scale. And do you know, now, not only is that little boy 6'5", he survived, he has 4 children. 2 of them are already at our kindergarten, Kids for Kids kindergarten.
Oh, this is...
In his village. It's absolutely amazing. Now, if you jump forward 25 years, you may already know that there are something like 9 million children in Sudan who are not able to go to school because of the violence. We have 14 kindergartens. All our kindergartens are functioning right now. We had 1,500 children started school in September. You know, that on its own.
Does that little boy who's now in his 30s, does he know that image,
yes.
You know, he must be yes. very proud of his part in this.
Actually, funnily enough, I never told anybody his name until he was 19. His name's Ibrahim. And I thought, because it would be a big burden for him to know what he'd got us to do, because we've actually, over the 25 years, transformed the lives of over 500,000 people in Darfur, in 110 villages. And when I went out and saw him in 2022, people said to me, what did you say to him? And I said, well, nothing. And what did he say to you? And I said, well, nothing. We were both absolutely crying because we both knew what that chance encounter had done. And what is amazing is that I actually don't believe in charity. I believe in doing that thing of enabling people to help themselves, you know, teach a person to fish. And we train villages, villagers, and then they run the projects. So I must have bought about 84,000, maybe more goats, but we only lend them to a family. And it's run by the animal loan committees we train. And after 2 years, the poorest families pass on 5 goats to another family. So if anyone donates a goat, that is a lifetime of their lifetime gift, because the babies from that goat go on to another family.
Oh, so...
And the babies from... It's phenomenal. Honestly, the difference in the children's health is sensational.
So really, it's about a long-term difference that you are making rather than stepping in, providing something and then going away. But
absolutely.
You've done 25 absolutely. Years and now you're thinking, right, well, you'll still be involved, but you don't want to be CEO
yes.
anymore, which is understandable.
Well, I think it's time. You know, it's very, very important that what we're doing, it actually goes on. We're actually showing how real sustainability can work. You know, we train midwives in villages. There's no healthcare now in Darfur because the hospitals have been destroyed. There's never been healthcare in villages. Our midwives are saving lives right now. Now, if I, you know, go on until I pop my clogs or whatever it is, then all of that, it wouldn't be continued. So it's really important that I pass on the legacy now. And I'm incredibly lucky. We've got this lovely CEO who started 2 weeks ago, poor man. He's working his socks off already, Andy Cordell. And I can't begin to tell you how I'm looking forward to introducing him to all our supporters and to you and to everybody else. He has the absolute ethos, you know, to heart. You know, that... People who, you know, lots of people love going to Africa and painting a school or whatever. You can't do that in Darfur. It's too dangerous. The people who support Kids for Kids are exceptional people. You know, I mean, they really care about humanity. They care about children. And anything you do that you give to Kids for Kids, I make absolutely certain is really, truly sustainable. And the difference, do you know, well, I don't know if you know, but there's the most appalling violence in Darfur. It started 3 years ago now. It's across Sudan. You can't believe this. You know, I keep saying I live in Dorking and, you know, we are the only organisation actually helping in villages right now in Darfur. We're providing emergency help so that we're feeding children because they cannot get protein. The banks are closed. They can't harvest their crops because it's too dangerous. So we are ensuring that children can have a future.
Well, it's incredible what you do, and it's lovely to see it through the perspective of a young boy. How do people find out more about what you do? You have a website where people can have a look and see what you do?
We actually have a really nice website. It's called Kids for Kids. That's Kids, F-O-R, Kids, Kids for Kids. .org.uk, and you realise that's little goats for children, you know, which is lovely.
Well, so nice to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk more about some of the incredible community initiatives going on across Sussex and Surrey at the same time tomorrow.
BBC introducing the track of the day.
BBC Radio Sussex.